Matthew chapter 3. No, sorry. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 through 23. Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. This is the word of God. Now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. He remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its vicinity, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the Magi. Then what had been spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned by God in a dream, he left for the regions of Galilee and came and lived in a city called Nazareth. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time, the time when we hear your word. And Father, we know that your word is our only hope in becoming more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for your faithfulness in giving us your word. And let us be alert and hear your word. And let us be more and more like your Son. We thank you, God. And we pray that you will receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Magi from the east were warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod. So the Magi left for their own country by another way. Now, from verse 13, we read, "Now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him.' So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. He remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, Out of Egypt I call my son. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Out of Egypt I called my son. Now, out of Egypt I called my son. God spoke this through the prophet Hosea. And if you go there and read Hosea chapter 11 verse 1, this is what you will read. When Israel was a youth, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. If you read the rest of that chapter, Hosea 11, then it will be very clear to you that Hosea is speaking of the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Israel was called the Son of God. Exodus 4:22, God says to Moses, "Then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn." Even though it is very clear that Hosea is referring to Old Testament Exodus event, we see Matthew applying that to whom? What does Matthew do with that Hosea passage? Matthew applies what the prophet Hosea said to our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew is in fact saying, yes, the prophet Hosea is speaking of the Old Testament Exodus event, but ultimately he is referring to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we must learn from Matthew on how to understand the Bible. The Bible is ultimately about Jesus Christ. Here Matthew tells us that the true Exodus has begun in Jesus Christ, because the old Exodus is pointing to the true Exodus that Jesus Christ accomplishes. The new Exodus has begun. The true and new Moses, the true and new Israel has come and accomplishes the true and new Exodus, the Exodus from sin and this world. Jesus comes out of Egypt. And Matthew shows us how Jesus Christ himself is reliving the life of the Old Testament Israel. But this time, he lives it perfectly. The Old Testament Israel crossed the Red Sea. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 2 tells us that as they crossed the Red Sea, the Israelites were baptized into Moses. Now Jesus Christ is also baptized in chapter 3. And the ultimately, the death on the cross, that is the true baptism of Jesus Christ. Thus, he himself too crosses the Red Sea. The Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and they were tested by God. Jesus Christ, the true Israel, also goes to the wilderness for 40 days. And he is tempted by Satan in the wilderness. But unlike the Old Testament Israel, this new Israel triumphs over the temptation. The Old Testament Israel received the law at the Mount Sinai, the law that shows the ways that they must live. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he gives from chapter 5, the Sermon of the mount, showing us the heavenly ways in which we must live. Yes, the new Exodus has begun. The Exodus from this world. And thus, what we read in Matthew is also our story. Because we too came out of this world. And through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we came out of the world and sin. And now we live a life of the wilderness in this world. And we are headed to the true promised land, the heaven. But our life is different from the Old Testament Israelites in that spiritually we have already arrived in the true promised land. We do not die in the wilderness and our bodies roll in the wilderness like the Old Testament Israel. We journey through this world with confidence that we will make it to the promised land because we have already arrived there spiritually. Now verse 16 says, "Then when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its vicinity from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the Magi. Then what had happened, what had been spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more." The Herod orders to kill all the male children from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from Magi. And we read in verse 18, "A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more." Now this, as you know, is a quote from Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 15, which says, practically the same thing, "Thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more." Now, if you go back to Jeremiah chapter 31 and read the whole chapter, you will know that the background of that chapter is the deportation of the Israelites by the Babylonians to Babylon. Ramah is a city where the Israelites were gathered before they were deported. It is believed to be the place of Rachel's grave. Now, as you know, Rachel is a wife of Jacob. Through Rachel, Jacob had two sons, Joseph and Benjamin. And our verse says that Rachel is weeping because her children are no more. Obviously, at the time of deportation, Rachel was not living. So here, Rachel is representing all the mothers of Israel. She comes here as the representative of all the mothers of Israel. And because the Israelites, sons of Israelites, are being deported to Babylon as slaves, Rachel or the mothers of Israel, they weep. Rachel weeps. It is expressed in our passage as Rachel weeping from her grave. Now, the Bible tells us that these children, male children who are under two, they got all killed. And this is fulfillment of what we find in Jeremiah 31 verse 15. When Israelites were being deported to Babylon. The seed of Israel is no more. But if we read the verses that are before and after Jeremiah 31:15, it will help us to understand what is going on. Let us go there together. Jeremiah 31. The verse is 15, so we're going to read the verses that come after 15. So read 16 and 17. Thus says the Lord, restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded, declares the Lord. And they will return from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, declares the Lord. And your children will return to their own territory. So here God says, Rachel, or mothers of Israel, do not cry, because your sons will return. If you go to verse 10, let us read verses that come before verse 15, let's read from verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare in the coastlands afar off, and say, he who scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, and redeemed him from the hand of him who was stronger than he. They will come and shout for joy on the height of Zion, and they will be radiant over the bounty of the Lord, over the grain and the new wine and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. And their life will be like a watered garden, and they will never languish again. Then the virgin will rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and give them joy for their sorrow. I will fill the soul of the priests with abundance, and my people will be satisfied with my goodness, declares the Lord. Yes, sons of Israel, they are being deported, but God gives them hope. He says, restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears. In other words, stop crying. Why? God says, they will return from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future. The remnant, the chosen one, will come back. Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ, the chosen one, will return from Egypt. Seen in this way, we see another aspect of Jesus going to Egypt and coming out. Seen in terms of verse 15 of Matthew chapter 2, we see the new Exodus. Jesus Christ himself goes to Egypt and he comes out. But if we look at him going into Egypt in terms of verse 18, we see a different picture. Let us look at it in more detail. All the male children under two, they die. Now first, we see how this is a similar background as the birth of Moses. Moses was born as the Pharaoh ordered to kill all male babies who were born. And here, a similar thing happens as the true Moses, Jesus Christ, is born. Now this event, as some call it, the death of the innocents, this event puzzles many people in the church. What is the meaning of this event? Why were those innocent babies all killed? For some, this kind of events in the Bible just do not make any sense, especially when they observe verses 17 and 18. These verses say that this event happened so that what was being spoken through Jeremiah the prophet might be fulfilled. God already prophesied that this would happen. All is part of God's plan. Thus, they are more puzzled about this kind of event. What must we understand from this event? Let us go back to Hosea 11. Why don't we go there together? Hosea 11, verse 1 says, "When Israel was a youth, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." Yes, God saved the Israel from the bondage of Egypt. But what happened afterwards? Was the Israel a good son? No. They rebelled against God. Let's read from verse 2. The more they called them, the more they went from them. They kept sacrificing to the Baals, and burning incense to idols. Yet it is I who taught Ephraim to walk, meaning the Israel. I took them in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of a man, with bonds of love, and I became to them as one who lifts the yoke from their jaws, and I bent down and fed them. They will not return to the land of Egypt, but Assyria, he will be their king. Because they refuse to return to me, the sword will roll against their cities and will demolish their gate bars and consume them because of their counsels. So my people are bent on turning from me. Though they call them to the one on high, none at all exalts him. So even though God saves Israelites, they sinned against God. They rebelled against God. They betrayed God. Thus, God says here that he will bring judgment upon them. They are kicked out of the promised land. They are deported. They are exiled. But this was already been told to them long, long time ago. If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15, from verse 15, this is long chapter. Well, let's go. Let's read a few verses there. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15. But it shall come about, if you do not obey the Lord your God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes, in with which I charge you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. And if you keep reading, He describes the judgment that He will bring upon Israelites if they do not obey. And if you go to verse 28, the judgment is described as the Israelites sent back to Egypt. Verse 28 says, the Lord will bring you back to Egypt in ships. By the way which about which I spoke to you, you will never see it again. And there you will offer yourself for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but there will be no buyer. So here, the judgment is described as the Israelites sent back to Egypt. So if we see Jesus going to Egypt in terms of verse 18, verse 18 points back to the deportation. And the Matthew is the one who connects what has happened with that. So here, these children are being deported. Deportation is a picture of judgment. You are becoming slaves to the Babylonian king, who is a picture of Satan. So, if we see Jesus going to Egypt in terms of verse 18, which is connected to the deportation of Israelites, then we see Jesus Christ being exiled. Yes, He is exiled. He is kicked out of the promised land, being no more, being cut off. Now, as we know that our Lord Jesus Christ receives all the judgment of God for the sins of His people, and the judgment of God is clearly shown on the cross on which He died for our sins. And there on the cross, then He is completely exiled. As we hear Him cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The wage of sin is death, and death is complete separation from God, complete abandonment from God, complete exile away from God. Do you see it? Here Jesus lives as the children die, but as you know later, we see the complete opposite. Jesus dies on the cross, and His children, His people live forever because of it. All those who wonder why those children had to die, all those who say why those innocent children die, do you also wonder why Jesus Christ had to die? Why truly innocent Jesus had to die? Do you see it? These children are called to participate in the life of Christ, the death of Christ, the exile of Jesus Christ. But God says, do not cry. They will return. They are also, these children are also called to participate in the return of Jesus Christ. All of His children are called to participate in the exile of our Lord. But we are also called to participate in the return of our Lord. Yes, we live a life of exile. Peter, in his first letter, calls God's children as those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout the land. The exiles. Hebrews 11 verse 13 says that Christians from the beginning lived as strangers and exiles on the earth. But understand, brothers and sisters, we will return. No, we have already returned. God's people are returned to our eternal home, heaven. We return as we are resurrected from the dead, the ultimate exile, the death. These children, God says, don't cry for them. They will return. They will resurrect from the dead and gather into our eternal home. Do you see it? These children are our picture. Yes, without the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the death of these children is indeed something to weep about. But God says, stop weeping. Jesus has returned and these children has returned. If we see Rachel and these children in heaven, do you think that we will see Rachel still crying for these children? Is that what you think? Do you see it? These children lived a glorious life. In those short days of their lives, they had the honor to participate in the life of our Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. They are what we might call first martyrs of the New Testament. Do not weep for them no more. Do you see their lives as a glorious life? Are you still weeping for them? Unless you see that, unless you see, even though you see these children who are under two, died, killed, unless you see these children living a glorious life, I dare say you still do not understand the gospel. You still don't get it. Do not judge by the standard of this world. Do not say that just because you have just mediocre job or you're not even successful, don't say just because you have some kind of illness that makes you not, you know, able to succeed in this world, just because you're weak, just because people think you're a failure, don't weep. I dare say unless you see the lives of these children as a glorious lives, you still don't get it. These children, we don't even know their names, but they were connected to Jesus Christ. The cause of their death was Jesus Christ. And through their story, even today, we learn, because their story is in the Bible. Even today, through their lives, we see what kind of life, what kind of glorious life is life of Christians. It's dying for our Lord Jesus Christ. Is being exiled, but knowing we will return. So spiritually, you have already returned. But physically in this world, we are exiled. We are killed. Verse 19, but when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea, in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned by God in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee and came and lived in a city called Nazareth. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. Now, what it means to be called a Nazarene. Well, if we go to John chapter 1 verse 46, you will get the idea. John chapter 1 verse 46. Nathanael said to him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? He was told that Jesus is from Nazareth. And the first thing that he says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? What is the implication? What it means to be called a Nazarene? It means that you are nobody. Understand? Jesus to this world is nobody. It means that you are a man of obscurity. From the very beginning, Jesus, our Lord, God, the God of universe, a man of low position. Even before he was able to walk, he lived a life of exile. His dad has to carry him to run for his life. Even before he was able to walk, he lived a life of exile, a life of suffering, life of death. He was born in a stable, laid in a manger. From the very beginning, he refused to receive any glory from this world. Show me one instance where Jesus Christ receives the glory of this world. Do you see any glory of this world from him? He was a Nazarene. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, do you want to be called a Nazarene? Do you? Do you want to be called a Nazarene in this world? You and I are invited by God to live a life of Nazarene. Life of exile in this world. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, he says. Do you see it, brothers and sisters? Do you understand what kind of life you are called to live? Do you understand what it means to follow Christ? The exile life in this world is no longer the curse of God. It is a glorious life. Because now it is the glorious life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us clearly show to the world how we too are Nazarenes in this world. Seriously, brothers and sisters, if you are seeking this world, this church is not for you. Because you're going to sit there Sunday after Sunday, the Lord's after Lord's day, you're going to hear this, that something that you will not like. Why would you put yourself in under that kind of teaching if the world is what you seek? You will not like it, and I will not like it, seeing that you will not like it. So let's really make our life easy. If you seek the world, find some other church. And I say it with sincerity. You, all of you, who are exiled, do not cry anymore. Restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears. You will return. You have already returned to God. You have been gathered into your eternal home. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the life of these children is your life. Let me read you a few verses here. Romans 8:36. For your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Do you understand that you are to live your life here on earth as a sheep to be slaughtered? We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. That is exactly how Jesus Christ lived his life. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 8. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. You know, Most of churchgoers will read this kind of verse and say, see, we're going to still succeed in this world. They will say, yeah, that we're going to be persecuted. Yeah, sometimes we're going to be like getting hits here and there, but we will still be successful. Is that what God is saying? Because if you keep reading, always, verse 10, always caring about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Do you understand what God is saying to you, His people? You still feel sorry for those children? Or do you envy their lives? Do you see it? Do you understand? Do you envy those children's life? First Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation. Brothers and sisters, we're very few. Very few who would welcome the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But God is with us. You have returned. Even this worship is the proof that we have returned. Even though tomorrow we're going to live again the life of exile, but understand we have been returned already. Let us not weep. For the life that we live, even as we might have to die tomorrow, is a glorious life in Jesus Christ. Oh boy, how we envy those children. Our problem is not being able to die for Christ like them. That is our problem. Don't think like they have the problem. You and I, we have the problem. Do you really see this as glorious? Because unless you see how glorious this is, God loves us so much that He calls us. He counts us worthy to share the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. He counts some of us in our history of Christianity. He counts some of us worthy even to die for Christ. Glorious. This is your life and my life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are at a loss for words. For your love for us is so great that you would count us worthy to live the very life of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That your work in us and in your church is to make us more and more like your Son. Oh Father, how we long to be like Him. And Father, we ask that you will come quickly. For one day, not being able to see your face is too long. Oh Father, we want to stop sinning. And when we see your face to face, we know that we will indeed stop sinning. But Father, even here on earth, we would like to know what is to love you with everything we have. For you are everything for us, everything to us. And let us consider the sufferings of this world, nothing compared to the glory that we have already in Christ and the glory we will have forever and ever. Let us live for you and let us die for you. For you are our life. For you are the meaning, the purpose of why we breathe. Bless your people and let us rejoice as we live this glorious life that you have called us to live. The life of suffering and death. The exiled life, the life of Christ. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray.